Well, tonight I want to talk to you and share with you some truths about secrets. Is it right or wrong to keep secrets? And a lot of other secret information from the scripture I'm going to be sharing with you. I'll be looking at sharing with you a number of scriptures. If you're a note taker, you can jot those down. And most of us have some secrets. You may have some secrets of your own, and some of them may be good, some of them may not be so good. You may have secrets that others have shared with you, and some of those might bring to light, and some of those might be quite dangerous. KFC is known for their secret sauce, you know, their secret chicken recipe. You know, corporations spend millions of dollars guarding their trade secrets, their inventions, their recipes. And across the earth right now, globally, billions and billions and billions of dollars are being expended trying through espionage to learn what another nation's secrets are. All the time on the web, there's all this stuff going on, trying to get people's secrets, country's secrets. And people, I was recently listening to a man who had spent numbers of years in the CIA, he and his wife. And they were sent to different nations for a few years at a time and developing relationships and recruiting people that could pass on to them, to our nation, the secrets of the nation they were in. That's not just seen in James Bond movies. Now, some stuff you see in James Bond movies you might not see in real life, but the espionage part is true. Secrets, the finding out of secrets is big time business. And in the political world, wow, a secret, knowing an opponent's secrets can win you an election. Knowing an opponent's secrets can cause them to bow out of the race. Secrets are powerful. And through the scripture, we find times when secrets were shared and stuff happened. Let me give you some examples. You remember the haircut in the devil's barbershop? Samson and Delilah? The secret of Samson's strength was really in his hair because of the Nazarite vow he had taken. And he had already violated the other aspects of that vow, but he had never cut his hair. And finally, through seduction, the enemy's camp, through a woman by the name of Delilah, was able to extract from Samson the secret of his strength. Once that was discovered, he became a weakened man. Secrets. And then there's stories like we find in Esther. This young, beautiful Jewish girl that the king and his entourage did not know she was Jewish. Her ethnicity was a secret. But God used that secret to position her for such a time as she found herself in, and it resulted in God's chosen people being spared. There was an occasion when David, running from Saul, was hidden by a priest, and they kept that secret at the expense of their own lives. I think ultimately 85 of them were executed. And then even Jesus, there was an occasion when he healed two blind men. You can find that in Matthew 9:30. And he told them, see that no one knows about this. Hush is the word. And then in history, just as it was in Esther's time, but even we have a very graphic example in World War II among Jewish people who did everything they would know how to do to try to keep their ethnicity from being known from the Nazis. And then if you've ever heard of the name Corrie Ten Boom, she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. She and her family lived in Holland. And it became a mission of theirs to hide Jewish people in the hiding place in their house. And they were able to rescue and spare the lives of Jewish people in that way. They were ultimately found out and were sent to the concentration camps themselves. And Corrie lost her family in the concentration camps. Maybe your life has been impacted because of a secret shared, and there was hurt that resulted, or someone shared a secret with you and it was good news that you had to hold. Secrets. The scripture has a lot to say about secrets. I heard the story about three men of the cloth, a priest, a Catholic priest, a Jewish rabbi, and a Christian pastor. And they were fellowshipping one day, doing some fishing together, and the Catholic priest finally said, "Well, I've got to confess, my brothers, a secret to you. I'm having a pretty big problem with drinking alcohol. You see, I'm drinking up all the wine that's left after the Mass, and it's become a problem for me, and I find myself getting into trouble because of it." And the Jewish rabbi says, "Well, since you shared your secret, I'm going to share my secret." Said, at least once a month, I slip into a neighboring county, and I go to a barbecue place, and I eat pork ribs. And of course, you know, that's sinful for me to do so. And then finally, the Christian pastor said, "Well, if you guys are going to confess, I am too. I've got to confess to you that I can't help it, but I just gossip a lot, and I can't wait to get back home to tell everybody your secrets." I remember in high school when one of my buddies shared a confidence, something really secret. And one of his friends in the locker room on the football team just blurted it out. And I remember seeing the look on my friend's face. And he was all of our friends, but his face just fell. And he learned a hard lesson. Be careful who you trust with your secrets. Well, the Bible has a lot to say that tells us that God wants us to have secrets with Him. As a matter of fact, He encourages us to have a place that's secret. And we meet Him there. In Matthew 6, 17 and 18, "But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Matthew 6, 6, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." We're told to do our charitable deeds secretly. In other words, not to be seen, not to be doing things to call attention to ourselves, but to do things somewhat anonymously. Only the Lord knows. He says it this way, Jesus did in Matthew 6, 3 and 4, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly." In Psalm 91:1-2, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So, the scripture teaches us that we need to have a place where we can meet in secret with the Lord. Pray, share things with Him. When we're fasting, to make it between us and him. You don't necessarily need to put it on Facebook. Hey, y'all pray for me. I'm fasting. Jesus said, when you're fast, do it secretly. There's something that happens when we do that. That your Father who is in the secret place and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So fasting, praying, and charitably giving, there is a blessing on doing that in the secret place. And the Bible teaches us that the prophetic is one of the ways that God shares his secrets with us. See, we saw scripture tells us of how we can do things in secrets for him, in secret for him. But one of the ways he does things in secret for us is through the prophetic. In the book of Amos, it says, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7. So in the relationship of the prophets with the Lord, there's secret information that is shared. And I believe New Testament terms, I believe there are still people who have a gift of prophecy that can operate in them. There are those who have matured and are recognized and who would even be seen as having a mantle of a prophet on their life. And I believe in a general sense that we as New Covenant believers, we are a prophetic people. We may get words occasionally. I think there's different degrees in the way that operates, but what I want you to see here is that is one of the means that God can make things known to us that we do not know otherwise, secret things. When David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then followed that up by conspiring and actually ensuring that her husband Uriah's life would be taken in battle. In other words, he was guilty of adultery and guilty of murder. For about a year there, that was kept in secret. But one day a prophet came. His name was Nathan. And Nathan exposed David. He rebuked David. Told him a story and said, David, you're that man. And it was an example of God revealing to Nathan the prophet what the king had done. That can happen prophetically. I remember a few years back, I was at a gathering, and it wasn't here at Grace House, but I was at a gathering, and there was a lady who walked by, and when she did, it was just one of those very unusual times where the Lord just spoke to me and told me something that was going on in that in the lady's life. And of course, I'm trying to discern, and so immediately just begin to pray. Well, Lord, if this is you showing me this, then I want to pray for this person because this is serious. It could, you know, it could disrupt their family. It could end their marriage. And I kept praying. I kept praying about it a few days. And finally, the Lord burdened me that I needed to go and minister to her husband. Now, please let me finish my story before you jump the gun here, because that is, you have to be so careful with something like this. So I prayed about it, and I felt like I got direction from the Lord. I didn't go and tell him what the Lord had shown me. I just went and I met with him and told him that he had been on my heart, because he had ever since I received this. And I said, I'm just want you to know I'm praying for you and your family. I asked him how things were going. I had prayer for him, just really encourage him to press in and pray for his family, pray for his marriage. And again, I did not feel led to share what I had seen, but I did feel led to try to minister to him and encourage him, and I did so. But within 2 years, that marriage had ended, and what I had seen had been happening, and it was just one of those times where, and I prayed during that time. I really believe the Lord wanted to intervene. I certainly prayed, Lord, should I share this like with my wife and have her talk to this lady? I prayed through all of that. I did what I felt the Lord led me to do. But those kind of things can happen. But it's because God loves us. And He wants us to turn when those kind of things are happening. So when someone comes to you and maybe the Lord's given them something, I would encourage you to always weigh it and pray through it. Discern it. But I've had times when someone shared things with me and I thought, I don't know where this fits. This doesn't seem to square. But maybe 6 months later, bingo, there it was. But because that word had been shared, I was prepared. You see, sometimes it works that way. God sometimes will reveal things through the prophetic to deliver us, to correct us, to direct us, to encourage us, to comfort us, and yes, I believe even to warn us at times. So we just have to be aware of that. In Daniel 2:22, it says, He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. Just think about Daniel. Daniel, God revealed to him top secret information concerning what nations were going to fall in the coming centuries, who those nations were, and what their order would be. God even revealed to Daniel the number of weeks between the time that a historical event would happen in ancient Israel and that the Messiah would come onto the scene. He even showed Daniel things that have not yet unfolded, but we have mile markers to know when this happens, these things will begin to happen. And that was hundreds and hundreds of years ago that Daniel saw those secret things. Same thing happened with John in the book of the Revelation. So this is the power of the prophetic, and that God would reveal those secrets to us through the prophetic is because He knows they are needed for us as we see the future unfold before us. Let me share a few other things. Sometimes there are things that need to remain in secret. In Ephesians 5:11-12, Paul says, And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. A lot of dark and dirty things are done in secret. That's what the scripture is saying. Paul says, they're so shameful you don't even want to speak of them. But I wanted to share this scripture because I want to tell you that in the season of history in which we're living, we are seeing a transition of things that were once predominantly done only in secret because of the shame they would bring. They are now being paraded openly without shame. And that tells us that something has impacted and affected the consciousness, the conscience of mankind, where the conscience becomes darkened, more hardened, more impenetrable. That moral compass within humanity, it's tilted even further. Now, since Adam, no man can live righteously enough to save himself. The ground's equal there. But we do know Isaiah said there would come a time when there would be the reversal of, if you will, the moral code. In other words, he said it this way, they will call evil good and good evil. That's like the reversal of the moral code. And it's very obvious that we are, we're seeing those kind of things happen. So Also, secrets can form unhealthy bonds between people. Like criminals that go out and break into somebody's house, two buddies that go and do that. Now they have a secret between them. And a bond is created them. An unrighteous bond is created through that act. I think like adultery, fornication, those types of sexual sins, soul ties and bonds can be created around that secret activity. And the enemy feeds on that because of the thrill involved and the secrecy involved. People have a penchant for the mysterious, for the secret. And there's no lack of salesmen of secrets out there. You go in a bookstore, bookshelf after bookshelf, you hear this word a lot in the Christian community, and I'm not saying it's being wrongly used, I am saying it's being used a lot. This secret, the secret of this, the secret of that, the mystery of this, the mystery of that. Because that appeals to people. What's beyond the veil? Well, folks, not everything beyond the veil is Holy Spirit. Not everything beyond the veil is holy and righteous. And we just have to be aware that. Listen to this scripture, Proverbs 17:23. A wicked man accepts a bride in a bribe, not bride, a bribe. A wicked man accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the course of justice. So what's that? A wicked man accepts a bribe. In other words, say a judge or someone that's going to, an authority that's going to make a decision. They will accept a bribe. That's another person. So you've got an activity between two people where money is passed in order for justice to be perverted. And that's a very unrighteous use of the secret, if you will. Psalm 101:5, whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. There's another misuse of the secret. Sometimes keeping a secret can be the right thing to do. Proverbs 11:12-13, a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence. But a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Do you notice that? A gossip betrays the confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Sometimes a person needs to share something that's secret with a trustworthy person to get direction of how to deal with it, gain wisdom. And sometimes, quite honestly, if it's something secret that's sinful, don't misinterpret how I'm using this word, but they're hungry for absolution, to have the weight and burden of the guilt removed. And so James talks about confessing our faults to one another that we may be healed. And so that's the reason you have like priests, rabbis, pastors, counselors, and even attorneys. That people, by and large, should be able to view as someone trustworthy to maintain confidence. You will not be in the pastor business long if you can't hold a confidence. You shouldn't be. Because part of ministry is helping people overcome the guilt and shame and pain of wrong choices and wrong decisions in their life. Dealing with the heartaches of life. And it's important. So there is a confidence, a secrecy about that. And the Bible's very clear in Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Do you hear that? Confessing and renouncing sin enables us to engage God's mercy, to receive God's mercy. We find freedom that way. We're able to get the proverbial burden off of our shoulders. And so confession is such a powerful thing. To confess, to come into agreement with God, I agree, Lord, this is sinful. I did wrong. This is wrong. And in our Christian walk, when we have sinned against someone else, then we can ask their forgiveness as well. And to renounce, that's the picture of breaking the ties. You know, putting it away. Walking away from it. Putting it behind you. Having its power broken off of you. So sometimes in confession and renouncing, there's a deliverance that, a freedom that is found. And that's part of ministering to people who are hurting, who are bound by sin, and so forth. And that's admonition for all of us to deal with the sin that may rise up in our life. I remember an occasion when I was ministering to a young man who had become extremely addicted to drugs. He had been in and out of a couple of rehabs, and he was just in bad shape again. And I met with he and his mother. And it was one of those cases, quite honestly, where he kind of came this way. Mom's dragging him in. You know, and a lot of times, I'll just be honest, a lot of times when that happens, you're not going to see much happen. A person needs to be willing. But she brought him in, and so he was there. And we began talking, began praying. And while I was praying, the Lord just gave me a mental, like a little mental video. The scripture would call this a word of knowledge. It's one of the spiritual gifts. But I saw this. And we were in the middle of this. I was leading him in some prayers that he was willing to pray. And I saw this and I said, well, the Lord is showing me this. And I told him, I saw money. I told him about the money I seen. And I told him what I saw him doing, where he hid it. And his eyes got big. He said, nobody on earth knows about that. He said, I know this is God. He started crying. God used the unveiling of that secret to awaken him, like, that God's real. He said, nobody on earth knows this. He shared what had happened, exactly what I was seeing. And he was miraculously set free from drugs, got involved in church, gotten baptized, got saved and baptized. And it was just incredible. His mama was crying, I was crying, he was crying. And it was just one of those very powerful deliverances and a very powerful testimony of a changed life. Secrets. God knows our secrets. So we err when we think we're hiding something from God. You know, one of the first foolish things you see a man doing after they ate the forbidden fruit was trying to hide from God. God knew right where Adam and Eve were. Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. The Bible says it this way. Psalm 90, verse 8 says, even our secret sins are exposed in his light. Jesus said in Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. So the Lord will reveal things. Now the only thing that's not going to be revealed are the sins that have already been taken care of removed, cast in the sea of forgetfulness. If you've repented of your sins, you've confessed them, renounced them, you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't believe that's going to be on the movie reel. I'll say it that way. Thank God for that. Amen. But no one will stand in the presence of a holy God in the judgment and be able to convince the Lord or anyone else that they're not guilty of sin, because the Lord's got all the video and it's not been tampered with. I love this scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29, part of it, first part of it. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And he goes on to say the things that can be known he's revealed to us. But the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Let me tell you why I just love this scripture. We have to admit, there's just a lot of things that happen in this world and in our lives that we cannot fully understand, comprehend, or fill in the blanks to. I know there's some people, they think they got the answer for any and everything that happens. But the scripture tells us there's some things that are known to God and God alone. And I believe there's some things that will forever only be known by Him. As a matter of fact, there has to be for Him to be God. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And that's comforting. Because when I'm grasping for answers and I don't have them, I know He still does. And I know what He does is just. And I know what He does is right. And I know what He does is good. Even in His judgments, He is righteous. And He is good. So, we can conclude that God does not consider keeping secrets to be sinful in and of itself. And a lot of times it comes down to motives. Why are you wanting to share a secret? If someone is vulnerable enough, and I'm talking about sincerely, I'm not talking about bragging about something they've done. Because there are occasions, and there are even legal parameters. Like if we become aware of someone like telling us they're abusing children, that's a secret. If you keep it, people are going to continue to be hurt and harmed, and the law is going to continue to be broken. You ask yourself the question, will keeping this secret hurt someone or help someone? You ask yourself the question, will sharing this secret hurt someone or help someone? You ask yourself this question, can I righteously share this secret? Can I righteously keep this secret? I gave the example of Corrie Ten Boom and her family. And, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, right? You've got a Jewish family hidden in your attic. There's a knock on the door. You go and open the door, and there's several Nazi soldiers looking for Jewish people to arrest, put on trains, send to Auschwitz, send to one of the other concentration camps, and to be burned alive. Do you tell them they're there? That's the position a lot of people were put in those days. You tell the truth and let them die? You see, I think, and I again, you can get people to debate you from now to next Sunday week on this. But if I'm standing there, I'm going to protect those people's lives. Because I believe that would be Jesus. Are you saying that Jesus would be a liar? No, I'm not saying that. He would have the means to handle things. You know, like, okay, you can't do that, drop dead. You know. But sincerely, there's some tough situations that people have to deal with. And again, I think that's where it talks about he who conceals a matter, a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Is I want to live my life in such a way if someone needs to share their secret with me because they're needing help or they're needing guidance, that they can do that and go their way knowing no one will ever know it. I do not want to be the person that would use somebody else's secret to cause pain in their lives. Love covers a multitude of sin. Just think about all the things God knows about you he hadn't told anybody. Think about all the things the Lord Jesus Christ knows about you that he hadn't told anybody. And yet he loves you. So, I hope that in some way this little study has been helpful. There was a man one evening that decided he was going to share a secret. He went and met with a group of well-known religious leaders in the community. He let the secret out of the bag, left with 30 pieces of silver, and they went and arrested our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be that kind of person. Father, I thank you for the invitation into the secret place with you. I thank you, Father, that our secrets are safe with you. I ask, Father, that we would so live our lives that you could share your secrets with us. Lord, thank you for the times you've done that. I know there'd be many stories that could be shared here tonight of prophetic words you've given people and words of knowledge and words of wisdom that you trusted people here tonight with secrets. And you trusted us to use them to help people. Thank you for that, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to use secret things to hurt people. Help us to know that love covers a multitude of sin. May Grace House be the place where people with their guilt and shame can run to and know their souls are safe with us. And yet, Lord, on those rare occasions when courage is demanded of us to reveal something in order to save someone, give us the courage and boldness to do that well, to do that righteously. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that our walk with you would become deeper. That our times with you in the secret place would become more frequent. And the opportunities to be used of you to help others would always be seized quickly by us. Thank you for these Wednesday evenings when we can gather and fellowship and just receive some teaching that's helpful. Lord, thank you that we can open the pages of your word and enjoy your secrets. See the future. Learn from the past. Know you more intimately. And Lord, for anyone here tonight who's struggling with some secret thing in their life, whether they share that with you honestly, and you already know it, but if they could confess that to you in the secret place, or if they feel like they need to confess that to someone else. Give them courage, give them wisdom, and lead them. Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all our sin. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Thank you for being here this evening. I'll be up here if anyone needs prayer. I know Pastor Doc will be up here. And Pastor Gary's close by. Others are here. Happy to be here. Here's Derek as well, Derek and Dana. There's a number of us who'd be happy to pray with you. If you need prayer, just come on up. We'll be available to you. But God bless you throughout the remainder of this week. Join back with us this coming Sunday. Looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. We had a great time of worship and this ministry time this past Sunday here. We have three services, and all of them are good, and all of them are different. And I love that. I love that, the variety, just the goodness of God expressed in so many ways. But as you go your way, may His abundant grace be supplied to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here.